It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Radio's rambling, adventurous, intrepid reporter. Ruth, what's going on out there?
Well, as Michael alluded to just now, we did have primaries here. Well, all over the state, actually. The Democrats were voting on governor, the Democratic gubernatorial candidate, and incumbent Lamont really made a strong showing against Josh Elliott. So that's set for November. In a surprise, well, somewhat of a surprise move, John Larson, who's been in a representative for the first district, I believe, for 14 terms, was turned back by Luke Bronin, the former mayor of Hartford. And so that was an interesting one.
I got that one kind of surprised me a little bit too there.
Yeah.
But then again, Lee, you had two people who had very well-known names, but for the an incumbent of that long to be taken out, that's very unusual.
Yeah, I thought so. But I guess maybe, you know, as we're looking at around the whole country, I think longevity and age is a question of what people are looking for. So
yeah, I think there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of disagreements on directions too these days. It's not as easy as it used to be to run for public office, and especially as an incumbent. I think you're seeing that in both parties, that incumbents are not the shoo-ins they used to be.
No, it's topsy-turvy out there. It's some changed from over the years. Everything is up for grabs, and yeah, it's so different. And it looks as if, well, Chris Shea on the Republican side will be opposing Johanna Hayes in for the 5th district seat. So that was the other question on the ballot here locally. So, and as usual, turnout was light. Primaries primarily don't bring out a lot of people. Well, at this point, neither do elections. So, but that's so be it. Yeah.
It's, you know, and that not bringing out a lot of people on primaries is, to me in Connecticut, is kind of the way in which the beast is organized with the late primary. But, you know, you can easily upend an incumbent that way, because sometimes they're thinking, oh, I'm good. It'll be low turnout. It'll favor me. And all you have to do is swing a handful of voters over there and catch them by surprise.
Yep, that's correct.
That may have been what happened to Larson, got caught by surprise, because, you know, who'd have thought? In my mind, I was totally shocked by that, too.
Yeah, just as I say, things are just not what we're used to. And of course, we'll be following from now on up till the midterm election in November. On a more local scene, I met Jill as I was going into a meeting in Sharon on sidewalks. This was last Thursday. This is the second meeting to public informational meeting that the selectmen called to have give residents an opportunity for input on sidewalks. And they're talking about replacing the sidewalks. Well, it stretches basically from the shopping center down to where 343-4 meet, and a few extra space areas like Hospital Hill, West Main down to the hospital, New Street. There's some Low Road has a few, so Cemetery Hill, little patches there. Cardinal Engineering is the been hired to be the consultants on this, and they gave long detailed explanations about the poor shape of those sidewalks, and the town has received a TRIP grant, a transportation rural something program, to at of $1.1 million. The project will cost probably $2.1 million, so the town will have to come up with the remainder. But Roy Seeley, the senior project manager, just talked about the poor condition these sidewalks have been in. Nobody quite knew when the sidewalks were put in. They think around in the 1970s, but a lot of them are being raised by roots, just raising them up, and cracks, and it's quite, in some areas, unsafe. So they're talking about 11,000 feet of sidewalks. They're going to be 4 feet wide as they are now, in some areas a little wider. And then the topic was has at the last meeting, the highlight was what materials to be used. Concrete, asphalt, stone dust, lots of variables. This time the concentration was on trees, and representatives from the Bartlett Tree Expert Company were there to talk about trees. And you folks would know, because your station is right near there, they're talking about the honey locusts down on Main Street, that at least four of them are going to have to go. And the one particular one is near the stop sign there, and they said that's a real tree shades the stop sign, and there have been many real near misses because people don't know there's a stop sign there because of the tree. At any rate, they looked at I think 131 trees, and of those, 22 probably will have to be removed, many of them on private property. So,
So did anybody protest that idea?
no, actually,
Interesting. Okay.
no. People were pretty realistic about having to get rid of some of those trees, because it would be, kind of foolish to put in new sidewalks if you're not going to take care of these, and you're going to have them being raised up and as soon as they're put in or shortly after. So no, there wasn't much controversy on that, just a lot of questions, and so it will the conversation will go on. First Selectman Casey Flanagan said there'll probably be another meeting at some point to really go over the to finish the discussion. The plan is to start in 2027, so there are some decisions that have to be made as before they start, obviously.
Now, you
So
said they've got 1 million in grant funding, and where does the other million plus come from? Do we know
well,
yet?
that's going to be town is going to have to come up with it, and there may be some other grants out there that they can apply for, but at this point that's what the trip grant was for. And as you and I, we all know, the price tag now is 2.1 million, but that could change. So
Oh yeah.
yeah, we'll
Oh,
certainly,
you don't know what you're going to run into either down around some of these old ones, and what could be underneath there. And that just sounds, that number for sidewalks, though, it just sounds crazy.
Well, you know what prices are nowadays, or
Yeah, no, I know, but that still doesn't take away that it sounds crazy still.
Well, it depends again on what they choose. A landscape architect, Philip Barlow, spoke, and he went through the costs, the various asphalt versus concrete, and that's almost double for concrete, and even more so for some of these other materials. And they did do a informal hands show of hands, I wouldn't say survey, but a show of hands. They just pulled it out. What would you like, asphalt or concrete? And it was kind of mixed. I thought, at the previous meeting everybody was talking about, oh, concrete, we have to have it. Now, not so much. So cost, of course, is a consideration. So interesting. I'm sure keep following that one.
Any idea when the next meeting is, or is that just to be to
No.
come? Okay.
No, they just said we will be. But with starting in spring of 2027, I mean, they've got to start making some real firm decisions. I would. And there was talk, some people thought there should be, you could do asphalt around every place, but do something special in front of town hall. There are all kinds of things thrown out there. So interesting. I see in Canaan, the voters have rejected relocating the dog park, which is, we haven't had too much talk around here about dog parks. There's one in Salisbury. I know that's pretty active. But the rest of the towns haven't really focused on that. But North Canaan rejected using $6,800 in state funds to relocate the current dog park, which is down at the Bunny Maguire Park. I guess there was a meeting that got, there's plenty of discussion on that one. And the idea of moving it was down 65 to 46. So they'll be looking at other sites or just keeping this one. I mean, there's
Where is that located?
Bunny Lawrence Field,
Oh, okay.
it's now it's Bunny Maguire Park at Lawrence Field. I guess that's what it's
And
being.
where do they want to move it?
Well, they I just
Unclear.
then not sure.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah. There was talk. Every location has its pros and cons, as you can imagine. That meeting was called to use LOSIP funds to move the dog park. But as Jesse Bunt's first selectman said, the idea wasn't voting on a location, it was to vote on using those
Moving.
funds. And that's what got shut down.
The funds being used to actually move one or to
Yes,
study where to move it, though. So sometimes these things are studies.
Yeah, no, this was according to sources here tonight. Jesse said you're voting on using LOSIP funds, which is local capital improvement program funds that come from the state that each town gets to use for certain projects, to move the dog park. He said they're not voting on location. We have four potential areas we're looking to put it in. So it really was to vote down the use of the LOSIP funds to relocate them. So the idea of relocating is still there. There are several sites were mentioned, but as I said, each has its pros and cons, and neighbors, don't want it at
Don't
certain
want it at
spots.
certain spots.
And dog parks can raise issues, as we know.
That they can.
But dogs need a place to play too, I guess, and socialize. I did an interesting story on artist Jeremiah Bickford in Canaan. He is really coming into his own as a painter. He's been he explained that he's dabbled in it for years. He has a degree in graphic design, but he really got serious about 6 years ago, and now he is. He does these watercolors, but his are unique in that they are very large. He said almost the size of a piece of plywood. He is showing now in several shows and has won awards. He just took Best in Show at the Sherman Artist Association show last Friday at the Kent Art Association building here in Kent. But his idea is not just to paint. By the way, he does landscapes. That's his thing, nature and landscapes. And he's done local scenes. He really has captured some beautiful spots here in the northwest corner. But his idea is not to just paint, but to have artists, as he put it, link art to social change. So what he has done is made a decision to donate parts, profits, parts of the profits from the sale of his paintings to local charities. And so he has just, his first attempt, or his first donation, is $2,000 to the Canaan Fire Company, for a painting that he has sold recently. And the next one will go to the Douglas Library. But he is hoping that other artists will follow suit and ca that his idea will catch on. And so
Where
he's.
might one see his paintings?
Okay, well, as I say, there's one now at the Kent Art Association building that's up for just went up and was won Best in Show on last Friday, so you can see it, what his show there. He's been at Five Points Gallery. He's been at Indian Mountain School, and if you contact him at Jeremiah Bickford on Facebook, one can see his paintings. He did. He showed a beautiful one that he did of Jack Ear's farm at Laurel Brook, and it was up at Five Points Gallery. And the Jack Ear's, Cricket and Jennifer, were celebrating their 29th anniversary and came to the show, and they bought it be as a gift to themselves. A beautiful rendition of the barns at the East Canaan farm. But if you can connect with him on Facebook or Jeremiah Bickford at Gmail and see his photos and hopefully get some artists to follow along with him on that idea, which is really lovely. So charities will benefit. He said, he felt he's not big into activism, but this is his way of helping to promote social change. So good for him.
Good for
By the way,
him.
he's the son of Catherine Boughton and Peter Bickford in Canaan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, grew
Okay.
up there and is a special ed teacher up at Monument Mountain in Sheffield.
Interesting. Well,
So,
guys, we are getting down to the last moments here, so is there anything left on the agenda today?
well, I'm not sure. Looking ahead, Mike, do you have stuff? I don't know.
One of the biggest ones I see for this coming weekend is the annual August Fest down in Falls Village that goes to money. All that money goes to the library down there. It's an annual thing where they have the grilled brats and
Oh,
craft
yeah, with
beers.
Lou
And
Timelot at the grill,
there
usually.
you go.
Yep.
Doesn't say if Lou's going to be there here this year, but
No,
we know
usually it's Lou. Yeah.
Vance Cannon and his friends will be playing as well. So it's a big, it's only $30 too, so
Yeah,
it's
that's a
great.
big it's music and food and camaraderie. That's always a fun way to su support the library during the summer.
Absolutely. Kind of thin on stuff this very couple last couple of weeks of August here, but
Yeah,
but
nobody's
we'll
yeah.
figure it out.
I just want to add one thing though for anyone who is doing their back to school or whatever acquisitions, this is sales tax week. So you should just know that if you go and buy school supplies, I think, and clothing, I'm not positive, Mike, you'll know better, but it's tax free week this
No
week.
tax, that's right. No 6.35 tax
Oh.
per week. Also, too, in mentioning that, there are a lot of organizations that are doing their drives now to collect school type items that children in families that may be a little bit hard up at this time for money. So that they can distribute them to the people that are in need. So if you look in your local areas, you'll find many organizations doing that.
Yes, that's always a good point. Yeah.
Just to be aware of because I don't know, I think we talked about this earlier. If we didn't, I was thinking about it earlier, but it doesn't seem like prices, oh yeah, when we're talking about the sidewalks, prices are not going down. It's just something to be conscious of if you have the ability See what you can do to help.
Yes, indeed.
All right,
Okay,
Nigel.
time to say goodbye.
In that case, thank you so much, Ruth. Much, Mike. This has been another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's adventurous, intrepid, traveling, curious, etc. reporter on Robin Hood Radio.